We are so thrilled that you guys are part of the missions track. And our prayer is that we will aid you and help you in your perspective of missions. And I pray that it'll be a very impactful time as you are in this track. But I want to first find out how many of you guys are thinking, I want to be a missionary, international, full-time missionary when I grow up. How many are thinking that way? Come on, raise your hand. I guess the big thing is raise your arm, I think is what they're saying this week, right? Let's see. Okay. There we go. Good. Good to know. Good to know. How many are would say, you know what? I definitely do not want to be a full-time missionary. Okay, good. Well, that's really helpful for me. What I want to do before we do anything, I want to start by working on our missions cheer a little bit, all right? Because we're sounding a little weak, all right? So when we say anything, the word missions comes out, everybody's just got to start going ballistic, okay? You guys are going to start going crazy. I know, you know, go ahead, loosen up a little bit. Go ahead, loosen up a little bit. And we just need to hear you go, wah! You know, whatever you want to do. You know, you could go, woo! You could go, ah! But we should figure out some unified war cry. Yeah? So I don't know if we like go missions, you know. I don't know what we do, you know. But anything, you know. Problem is missions often gets a bad rap that we're like not cool, you know. We're kind of geeky, you know. And I don't know. Maybe that's the case for me. I don't know. But we're gonna change that image. All right. Just this week, we're gonna change the image. Mission. How should we sound when we say when we do missions? When you hear the word missions, what should we do? We'll just go, but we got to be loud, okay? You can't be girly. You cannot be girly men. You can't be wimp chicken babies. You got to, like, scream it out, okay? So, I mean, when they say missions, we say missions!
Missions!
Yeah! You guys, you have more in you, and some of you guys are still trying to do the cool thing. The cool is, like, screaming for your team, okay? Missions!
Yeah!
There we go. Now that's cool. And so I think we should like do like missions. Woo! You know the problem is to go like this. It's like a W. Woo! I don't know what we do. Okay. So, but we gotta be like cool. All right. So we go missions. Yeah! She's got a new one. Let's show your thing. There, I like that. That's kind of cool. Wait. Let's see. How did you? Peace turned upside down. Woo! Missions! Woo! Okay, if you want to do that, you can. If not, that's cool too. But anyhow, very cool. So anytime the word missions comes out, like the preacher saying, hey, we need to be missionaries to our community, you're like, woo! You know, I don't just, that word mission just like sets us aflame. You know, we start like getting passionate and excited. All right?
All right.
All right?
All right.
Okay, good. So, well, we are so excited for you to be part of the mission track. Before we get going, I want you to take a piece of paper. I want you to help me out. I want, and also Mr. Pratt, I have not met him. I'm looking forward to sitting down with him hopefully after this afternoon and just talking about our track and making sure we're dialed in together. And I've just heard great things about this man that's going to come here. And I think what's great is our fields are a little different. My field is like way open to truth, way open to the gospel, whereas he's coming from a field that is very closed to the gospel and a little bit more undercover type of mission. And so I think you're going to get a great balance in our track. So I praise the Lord for that, and I think you guys will benefit from that. And you guys, come with questions. Our desire is to answer your questions, but I also want to make sure that we address the issues in your heart regarding missions. So take out a blank piece of paper quickly, and I'm going to have you rip it out of your book if I'm allowed to. So, but I want you guys just to take a few minutes and answer. Ask a few questions that you would want to see addressed within this track. And I think that will be helpful for Mr. Pratt, Dr. Pratt, I don't know, Zane Pratt, and as well, it'll be helpful for myself. So if you have that piece of paper, let's take a few minutes. Just write down some of the questions you would have regarding missions, and then I'm going to have you turn those on up, okay? So just take a few minutes, do that. My son Emmett's going to do that, even though he can only write A's and B's. So go and take just a few minutes of that. We'll just be quiet for a few while you write that and then hand those in. That's helpful for this year and as well other years to come, just to know what you guys would want to see addressed in this track, okay? So I'll whistle, sing, while you guys take a few minutes to do that. Or you can do it with your neighbor if you want, that's fine. All right, we'll take one more minute, okay? So finish that up. I like seeing one. I know we're going to address one of these issues. This one here says, how should someone who's single pursue a life in missions? Great question, and we'll be addressing that one, so that's encouraging. My wife will address that for you single women. Not that she's ever been single. She was swooped off the feet by some man. Can't let these hot babies go single long, you know what I mean? Maybe we'll just talk about dating in this room. Okay, 30 more seconds. Okay, pass those papers up here. Pass them to the rows and then just bring them on to the center aisle. And then I have our great assistant. What's your name again? Alyssa. Ladies and gentlemen, Alyssa, who's our assistant in here helping us from D3. She's going to collect them in the middle for us. And that'll be really helpful. So what I wanted to do to start our time off is I wanted to answer two questions this morning. And then this afternoon, we're going to, the second session this afternoon, we're going to answer kind of a third question. The first question that I want to answer today, well, the two questions I want to answer today is, what is a missionary? And the next question is, why be a missionary? Simple enough, right? But I think that these things will be helpful. And what I want to do is actually start by answering the question, why a missionary? Because I think it's easier to understand what a missionary is after we understand why. Okay? Is that cool? Is that cool?
Yeah.
You guys have to give me feedback or I'll like feel really sad. So help me out by giving me some feedback. Is that cool?
Yes.
Very good. And first of all, how many of you guys are from Kentucky? What churches are here? What churches? What church are you all from? Help me out.
Bible.
Huh?
Calvary Bible.
Where is it? Jolson, Tennessee. Jolton, Tennessee. Okay. Okay, good. What other church? Yes. Texas. How close to Houston or Dallas? Okay, very cool. Yes. From Michigan, Lakeshore. How far from Farmington Hills?
I don't know. Never there.
Detroit.
We live in Grand Haven, so that's about 30 minutes from Grand Rapids.
Okay, very good. Very good. Yes.
Montgomery, Alabama.
Very good. Awesome. Yes. Morning View Baptist Church from? Very nice. Yes. Come on, Castleview Baptist Church. I was with them this last Sunday. Awesome. Yes. Dustin, Florida. Very good. How far from Orlando? A ways. Okay, good. Yes. Oak Grove, Missouri, very nice. Indiana, very good, yes. Very cool, yes. Philadelphia Baptist. From where?
Birmingham, Alabama.
Awesome. Atlanta, Georgia, Mount Vernon, very good. Well, this is awesome. We've got many, many churches here. And that's a joy because it's just neat to see how the word of D3 is getting out there. How many of you guys, this is your first year at D3? Very good. Are you guys enjoying it so far? Okay, good, good. Well, what I want to do is talk about why be a missionary. I want to first hear from you guys. Maybe you guys can put a few different comments down. Why be a missionary? Maybe you can write up there, honey. This is my wife, by the way, Danielle. So my wife, and then I have one son here, Evan, and then we have Ethan, then we have Emmett right here. So why be a missionary? Tell me. Yes. To spread the word of God. Okay, good. Why do we want to spread the word of God? So people will be saved. Okay, good. Why else? Tell me out. Say again. Some people don't know about the word of God. Good. Help me out. Someone else. Yes. We're called. Just obedience. Good. Go ahead. Someone was over here. Because we're commanded to. Very good. You guys are on the same page. What else? Combine a love for foreign culture with your love for God. Okay, good. Anyone else? To serve the king. Amen and amen. And a? Okay, good.
To seek and to save those who are lost.
To seek and to save those that sounds like a verse. Seek and to save those which are lost. To serve the king. To spread his kingdom. Okay, good. Very, very good. Well, there are many, many answers that we could give for this question. And what I want to do is I want to give three. I want to give three answers to that question. And I want to make sure that we see them very clearly because they're important. And I think that they need to live on our hearts. They need to be embedded in our minds. Because the reality is that mission opportunities are all around us, are they not? Sometimes we think, I don't want to be a missionary. But in reality, all of us are, as someone has said already, we are commanded or called to be what? We are called to be what? All of us are. And whether that is here or whether that is there, we are all called to be missionaries. And in order to be a missionary, let me tell you something needs to happen. We need to see people from God's eyes. We need to see people from God's eyes. When we see people from God's eyes, we will be compelled, we will be motivated, we will be driven to be missionaries. And I think the problem we have is we don't see people from God's eyes, and therefore the mission call is becoming less and less pertinent. And I want to make sure that we restore our passion for missions. And so in order to do that, we need to kind of wake our eyes up. So everybody go like this and kind of rub your eyes and let's try and get the earthly view of man and let's change that, okay? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a chair. I'm going to move this thing over a little bit and I'm going to put a chair right here, okay? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to, man is in this chair, okay? We're going to help you see them from your chair differently. Okay? And so with that, I want to give you the first reason why we must be a missionary. Why be a missionary? First reason, because mankind is unrighteous and must know about the righteousness of God. Because mankind is what?
Unrighteous.
And must know about what?
The righteousness of God.
Must know about the righteousness of God. Let me see who I can pick on here. Let me go with this guy's got a black shirt right here. You come here, big man. When we look at the Bible, what is the problem with man? You can sit right here. What is the problem with mankind? We're sinners, okay? We're sinners. And as sinners, the issue becomes, so what's the, tell me, if we're sinners, what does that mean? What's the problem? How is that a problem? We're separated from God. Why are we separated from God? Because he is what? And we are what? Not. The Bible says that we are actually unrighteous. That we are unrighteous. And because we are unrighteous, we cannot enter into God's holy presence. Okay? So when you look out at man, you cannot see them the way everyone else sees them. Okay? You can't. You cannot see man the way everyone else sees man. You must see them differently. There are one of two types of people. Honey, let me borrow your sweater. There are those who are unrighteous and then those who are righteous. Those who are unrighteous and those who are righteous. Now, who is righteous? Huh? Who is righteous? Go ahead. Okay, come on, help me out. God? No one else? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We got them covered. Anyone else? Huh? People who follow God. Now we're getting somewhere. Let me tell you something. I really believe we have lost the heart and soul of the gospel. We have lost the heart and soul of the gospel. I want to explain that. But before I do that, I want you to understand, according to the Bible, apart from God, all are sinners. See this black shirt? This is going to represent sin. Okay, you should not have worn a black shirt today. Okay, this is going to represent sin. The reality is we must see people in their what? Sin. Friends, listen, when I look into this room, you either have sin, unrighteousness, or you have righteousness. And there's only one who will be saved, those who are righteous. And I want to show you that. I'll bring you back, but for now you can sit down. Look with me at Romans chapter 1. I just got done preaching in a conference this last week. And I went to everybody in the group and I said, hey, tell me the gospel. Tell me the gospel. And I could do the same here. I could say, give me the gospel, give me the gospel. But the reality is every time I do it, nobody tells me about the righteousness of Christ. And the reality is it is a hidden mystery. It is a hidden doctrine today. But I want to show you something. Look with me at Romans 1, 16. Someone read it for me. Okay, good. And thank you for your boldness. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel. And there's a reason, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and then also to the Greek. Pause. We're going to come back there in a moment. But I want you to now look at verse 17. For in it, what is the it there? In the it. What is the it? In the gospel. In the gospel, what does it say? The righteousness of God is what? Revealed. Friends, listen. And I want you to see this and I want you to hear this very clearly. The gospel, in the gospel, what is revealed? What is revealed? The righteousness of God is revealed. What is revealed in the gospel? The righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. Friends, listen. The gospel is the declaration of God's righteousness. Buddy, in the back, don't you fall asleep on me. Go ahead, you stand up in the back so that we don't have to sit on you. Listen, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. You say, why is that important? It's important because look at the end of that verse. It says this, for the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous man shall what? I'm sorry, the righteous man shall what?
Live by faith.
What is he saying? Listen, he's saying this. There is only one, look at me here. There is only one who will live eternally. Are you hearing me? There is only one who will live eternally. And who is that? The righteous man. Who is that? The righteous man. My friends, the only one who will live eternally is someone who is righteous. That's the only one. So in reality, when we look at mankind, we must see them one of two ways, as either righteous or as unrighteous. There is mankind is either one or the other. And we know that the Bible says that we are born into sin, and because we are born into sin, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none righteous, not even one. So the question becomes, how will an unrighteous man become righteous? How will an unrighteous man become righteous? And that's why in Romans, he tells us in verse 3:21, and by the way, the first three chapters talk about man's unrighteousness and how the all of man is unrighteous. Hey, big man, let me help you out. Come here. Let me help you. I need your help for a second. Come on up here. That's why he makes it clear. Look with me in 3:21. He says this, for now, apart from the law, look with me, 3:21, now apart from the law, Evan, good, you can sit right here, sit there, Evan, I'm just going to help you stay awake, Evan, let him sit there with you, you come sit on mommy's lap, good, I care for you too much to let you fall asleep on me, I want you to hear this, 3:21, but now apart from the law, what's revealed, everybody, 3:21, now apart from the law, what is revealed? What's revealed? He comes at the end of 3:20 and says, listen, all mankind is unrighteous. All mankind has no hope of ever standing before God. He says, but now, apart from the law, what is revealed? The righteousness of God is revealed. The righteousness of God is revealed. And he explains all about that righteousness. But he says in verse 22, the righteousness of God, which is through what? Faith in Jesus Christ for all those who? It's for all those who believe. So listen. What the Bible reveals is that only one will live. And who is that? The righteous man. So listen. We know all of mankind is unrighteous. All of mankind is unrighteous. So come back up here. All of mankind is in this condition. Right here. They're unrighteous. There is no hope of them standing in God's what? Presence. Why? Because God is holy. God is righteous. He's holy. And by holiness and righteousness are really the same thing. Righteousness is holiness obtained through the law, if you will. It's a right standard. And so God is this way. Man is this way. So if man is going to stand in God's presence, then he must be what? Holy. He must be righteous. So there's only one who will live. And my friends, we must see the world the way God sees it. We must see the world the way God sees it. And the way God sees it is he looks down from heaven and he sees there are some who are unrighteous
And then there are some who are righteous. You happen to have a white shirt on, so I get to pick on you. There's some who are righteous. Come here for a second. Let me lift this chair. Now, who are those? Who are those who are righteous? Come sit here. You tell me. Who are those who are righteous? Those who have, go ahead. Those who have faith, true saving faith in Christ, right? Right? Now, listen. What do we mean by faith in Christ? What is faith? We talked a little bit last night of what faith is, right? But someone who has true faith, someone who has true saving faith, I would liken it to this. Okay, if there was a bomb, what you guys didn't know is that before you came here, is I planted a bomb, B-O-M-B, I'm like a terrorist. I planted a bomb in this room. That really is not a projector, that is a bomb. Enough explosive power to take Legacy and bring it to Tennessee. And in 5 seconds, I've planned for it to go off. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Did you guys believe me? You heard it, but you didn't believe me. Why?
Because we have faith that it's projected.
Very good. So because you didn't believe because of the fact that you didn't run out of the room, right? If you would have believed, the information would have caused action, right? See, you guys can be bombarded with truth and information, but if that information never changes the way you live, then you don't really believe. You are just information gatherers, right? So what happens, someone who has true faith in Christ, what happens is they hear the teaching of Christ, and then it motivates them to truly believe in it and put their confidence in it. Those people, the Bible says, are declared righteous. They are declared what?
Righteous.
Now, what does that mean? Okay, let's just understand this. Mankind is what?
Unrighteous.
So how does he go from being unrighteous to righteous? How? Someone know?
He puts on a white shirt.
That's a good answer, but no. Huh? Christ's righteousness. What does he do with his righteousness? He gives it to us. My friends, listen. The Bible says he imputes it. He gives it. He credits it to our account. What he does is he comes, even though we are unrighteous, and he gives us his righteousness. He gives it to us. Listen, mankind, unless they are given a foreign righteousness, unless they are given a righteousness that's not their own, they will go where? Where?
To hell.
To hell. Friends, does that burden us? Does that drive us? Does that concern us? If it doesn't concern us, then there's a problem. We don't really believe what the Bible actually what? Says. We may hear it, but we don't what? Believe it. That's why all Christians are missionaries, because all Christians live with the reality that the world is what? Unrighteous. Listen, if they don't get the gospel, they never hear about what? The righteousness of Christ. And my concern is, even probably in here, some of you have never known about the righteousness of Christ. But this is what happens. And we realize that this righteousness is through grace. That's why he says in verse 24, look at 3:24, he says this. We are justified or declared righteous as a gift by his what? Grace. Through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. This is a gift. This righteousness is a gift. And this gift is motivated by what? Look at what it says. It's a gift and it's motivated by his grace. So now listen, and you can go sit down.
Go ahead, bud.
Go sit down. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, our friend. But listen, unless this man has this righteousness, there is no hope of him standing where? In the presence of God. There's no hope. He must have this righteousness. And just so you know the gospel, God, can God just set a guilty man free? Is that what he does in the gospel? In some ways, yes. But see, if God, if someone were to come and kill my son, and that my son and that man were to stand before a judge, and that judge says, "Oh, you know what? Yeah, you killed him, but you are kind of cool. I like you. So I'm just going to let you go free." We'd say that judge is what?
Corrupt.
And that's what happened in heaven. And if you look at Romans chapter 3, verse 25 and 26, you see that that's exactly what happened. God let David go free, though he was a murderer and an adulterer. And so all of heaven thought, God is unrighteous. So what God did is he took his son and he laid him up on a cross. And the sinless one paid the penalty for all our sin. So this is what happens in the gospel. What happens, go ahead, put your arms down. God takes, no, I'm just going to kidding. He takes our sin for the sake of just nobody lusting in this room. I won't do that to this guy. But he takes our sin and he puts it where? And he puts it on the cross. And he pays the penalty for our sin. And then God takes his righteousness and he does what with it? He imputes it to it. He gives us it. Amen? Amen? Friends, never forget one thing. The heart and soul of the gospel is the righteousness of Christ. The heart and soul of the gospel is what?
The
it's the righteousness of Christ. And my friend, let me tell you, unless you have it here, unless you have this righteousness, you too will go to hell. See, the problem with the Jews, they thought they were righteous. So they kept trying to do the law and just be good enough. And the Jews, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 1 and 2, they would not accept the righteousness of God because they were trying to attain their own. But now coming back to missions, and it's important you understand the gospel, right, if you're going to be missionaries. But if we're going to see mankind from God's perspective, we need to look at mankind the way God sees them. And when God is up here in heaven, when he's standing up in heaven, he's looking down on mankind and he's seeing mankind is either unrighteous or what? Righteous. And who's righteous among man? No one but those in whom God has what? Saved. Those in whom God has given his righteousness. But the reality is the majority are standing where? In their sin. Friends, do you hear that? The majority are standing in an unrighteous status before God. And you have the gospel of his righteousness. And unless one puts their confidence in this righteousness, this man right here, assuming that he was truly unrighteous and never been given this, this man right here will go to hell. That's where he'll go. And so, why are we missionaries? First reason is because mankind is unrighteousness and must know about what? And must know about what?
The righteousness of God.
Listen, there are people in your church, there are people in your community that don't know about this right here. Does that motivate you? Does that move you? If it doesn't, there's a problem right here. Amen? So, there's a second reason. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, what's your name?
Taz.
Everybody for Taz. Like Taz is like, tomorrow I'm wearing a white shirt, I promise. Okay. Second reason why we must be missionaries, why we need missionaries, is this. It's because mankind is in bondage to sin and cannot be set free apart from the gospel. Mankind is what? Is in bondage to sin and cannot be set free apart from the gospel. I'm trying to help you understand what drives missions. Because if you're going to be a missionary, there must be a theological motivation. Or you're just going to go because you want a cultural experience, right? Or missions is just going to be an excuse for why you can have a job. But see, missions is motivated internally, theologically. That's why we go. Some people want the adventure. Well, my friend, then you're not a missionary, right? And let me tell you, there are a lot of people that go for adventure. And let me be honest with you. I went on my first missions trip because I thought it would be cool, be fun. I went to Africa. I thought, hey, who would do missions in, like, Europe? I mean, we're going to do missions. Let's go someplace cool like Kenya. So that's what drove me on my first missions trip. But reality is missionaries are born theologically. They understand and see mankind from whose perspective? God's. So there's another perspective that we must see. Let me see. This guy's just looking so cool. Come here, buddy. Come sit here. There's another picture that the Bible gives of mankind. Okay? This picture, you don't have to sit. You can stand. This picture, oh, go ahead, sit. You can sit. I'll do it this way. This picture is that mankind is in bondage to what? Sin. You see, if I were to ask you guys, what is sin, you would tell me what? Huh? Rebellion against God, okay? Help me out. Someone else, tell me, what is sin? Unrighteousness, okay? What else? Come on. Wrongdoings, okay? Big man in the back. Any transgression against the law, okay? What else? Struggle. Disobedience of his word. Not taking action. Temptation. Okay? Well, listen. Sin can be defined from two perspectives. Okay? Sin can be defined from two perspectives. I've written a step-by-step gospel thing, and I'll tell you more about that. But I define it two ways. It can be defined from the perspective of a deed, and it can be defined from the perspective of a nature. Okay? Understand that we miss the mark, right? You've heard that term. We miss the mark. We do bad things, not because we have a sin problem. We have a nature problem. The worst problem is not our missing the mark. If I go to an unbeliever and I say, are you a sinner? What would they tell me? Come on. How many say they would say no? How many would say they'd say, yes, I'm a sinner? Yeah, they'd say, I'm a sinner. Yeah, I'm a sinner. Some people, they'd say, uh-huh, I am. And they'd say it kind of cocky, you know, a cocky way. But the reality is mankind would recognize that they do bad things, right? They would. I realize that I'm not always loving to my wife. I realize I look at people I shouldn't look at. But you see, to be a sinner is worse than just doing bad deeds. It stems because you have a sin nature. See, mankind is born with a bigger problem than just doing bad deeds. They're born with what the Bible calls a sin nature within them. They are bound in bondage to their sin. I want to show you. You can sit down for a second. I'm going to come back to you. Look with me. First of all, in Romans 3:9. Okay, I'm going to give you, I'm just giving theory this time, and we'll go to practical as we move forward. Romans 3, 9 says, what then are we, that is, are the Jews better than they, the Gentiles? Are the Jews better than the Gentiles? I mean, he's saying, hey, in light of righteousness, I mean, yeah, the Gentiles may be unrighteous, but are us Jews at least better than these Gentiles? And what's the answer? What's the answer? By no means. Absolutely not. Why? You say, why? Why aren't we any better? Well, he tells us, what does he say? That both Jews and Greeks are all what? Under sin. Both Jews and Greeks are both what? Under sin. This word under is under dominion, under the power, under the control, under the influence, under the sway. That is to say that mankind is under the power of another. That you aren't in control yourself, that someone is under the power. You may want to do good, you may want to do what's right, but in reality, someone has you under its power. And that is called sin. I want to show you again. Look with me in Romans chapter 6. No, you can sit here. Romans chapter 6. Look here. See, this is what God does. He says, look at verse 6. Knowing this, that our old self was what? Everybody together, Romans 6, 6. Our old self was what? Crucified with Christ. So that we would, in order that we would, our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be what? Slaves of sin. For he who has died has what? Freed us from sin. We look again, verse 7. For he who has died has what? Everybody has what?
Freed from sin.
He's freed us from sin. Look with me in verse 17 of chapter 6. But thanks be to God that though you were what? Though you were slaves of sin. This is a passive in Greek, which means something enslaved you. What enslaved you? It was sin. Sin enslaved you. And though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you are now committed, having been, verse 18, having been what? Freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. So let me give you the picture. I want you to see the picture with me. Okay, I'm going to give it to you from two perspectives. One perspective is this. I just picked on your friends. We are this thing here. We are slaves of sin, meaning sin has us under its power. Sin has us under its power. Where are you going? Okay, it has us under its power. Okay? We have, it has control of us. See, you may think you're free, but you're not. Sin has you under its power. Go out the front door. Go ahead. Go out the front door. See, you may want to do what's right. You may want to go out that front door, but you can't. Why? You're under my power. You're under my control. And look, all mankind is weak. They don't have the power. They don't have the ability to be freed from sin. You see, that's why he says in 3:9, after saying, go ahead, you can sit down. In 3:9, look there again with me. He says that we're all under sin. Then he shows and proves that all man is under sin. And he says there's none righteous. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. All have what? Turned aside. You say, wait, why doesn't man seek God? Why doesn't man understand? You know why? Sin, what? Controls them. Because they are under what? Under what?
Sin.
See, the reason why man doesn't understand God is because they are under sin. Sin controls them. So sin takes control of their minds. They don't seek God because sin takes control of their path. Sin takes control of every element of who they are. Are we together? So if we're going to see man from God's perspective, we must understand that man, come here, sit here, is in bondage to sin. Man is under sin's power, under sin's control, and mankind cannot get out. They are hopelessly under the sway and power of sin. He may want to get out. He may have the desire, but he's sitting there hopeless and helpless, unable to save his own soul. How can he be set free? How? How is he going to get out of his chains? Tell me. Christ, righteousness, Christ. Or you can say, I don't know. Well, look with me once again at Romans 1:16. Romans 1:16. What does it say? I am not ashamed of the gospel of God. Why? For it is the power of God for what? Wait a second here. It's the power of God? Well, why is that power needed? Why is that power needed? You tell me. Because this man here has no power to save himself. But rather, something has power. Something has God's power. And what is it? The gospel. The gospel has God's power to come and change. Set this man free from the bondage in which he's in. Set man free from the sin which is holding him sway. You see, some of you think, some of you come to the camp and say, man, this just doesn't get my passions going. I mean, this isn't exciting for me. Well, part of it could be the reality that sin has control of your mind and will not enable you. Because what's funny, you may not like camp and someone else is like, man, this is the greatest thing ever. Well, what's the difference? Usually it's because sin is holding one's mind captive. But see, what happens is that this person who is under sin's power, the gospel comes and he breaks him free from that sin. And he's able to stand then free. Amen? Amen. Let me show you this one other way. Look with me in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. It says this in verse 14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not? Everybody who they have not? And how will they hear without a preacher? Verse 15. How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. And then what he says in verse 17, so faith comes from?
Hearing.
From what?
Hearing.
Faith comes from what?
Hearing.
Hearing. And hearing by the word of Christ. Listen. What is his point? Listen, no one will be saved. This person will not be saved without the preaching of the word of God. Faith will never come. You see, how does God give faith? How does God give faith to people? It is through the preaching of God's word. See, this is the power. So what happens is God doesn't just wake somebody up without anything. He uses a person. Are you hearing me? He uses a person. He uses a missionary. He uses a missionary. A missionary goes out with truth, and what he brings it to this person, and you come here again one more time. Good one of you. You come here, big man. I want to just let you visualize this. He's sitting there in his sin. And what happens is God uses the preacher, and the preacher cuts through these bounds of sin and then sets him free. He does not do it apart from a human vessel. He does not do it by sending angels to come preach a message. He does it through human agencies preaching a message. Those human agencies are you and me. They are those who are missionaries. Are we together? Are we together?
Yes.
Tula Wansi. In Uganda, that's sit down. So he does it through an agency. Are you guys with me here? So in reality, when we're looking at why we are missionaries, it's because mankind is unrighteous and must know about the righteousness of God. The second reason is because mankind is in bondage to sin and cannot be set free apart from the gospel. Apart from the gospel. Listen, see with human eyes. Man is either sitting here unrighteous or man is sitting here in bondage to his sin. And the only one who can set him free, the only one who can make him righteous, is a missionary. The only one. See, what drives me to Africa is there's less people with the message to set one free. And so therefore I must go. There's a third reason why we're missionaries. And it's this. It's because the church worldwide is weak, deceived, and starving for spiritual nourishment and must be strengthened. The church worldwide is weak, deceived, and starving for spiritual nourishment, and what we must strengthen it. And we must strengthen it. Are you with me? The reality is that we here in America have been so blessed. As Baptists, we love this concept of the autonomy of the church. And it works very easily here, where churches have great God-fearing elders who are preaching the truth of God. And everybody look at Dan and wave at him. And who are preaching the word of God. But the reality is, as you go across the world, you come into Africa, and the gospel they get there is, hey, are you sick? Are you sick? You come. Come here. You give me a little money, and I'll heal you. You want to be rich? Who wants to be rich here? You all want to be rich? Who wants to be rich? Come on, tell me. Well, you come. Come to Jesus, and he'll make you rich. And by the way, in order to do that, you need to give. You need to give your money, and what you give, he will allow you to reap. What you sow, you will reap, right? He'll multiply your resources. And so that's the gospel going on around the world. And the church is so confused. Or you have other churches that they don't even know about the righteousness of Christ. They have no idea. They don't know about sin. But they're there in the name of Christianity. So millions upon billions of people in Africa are going to an evangelical Christian church every single day, never hearing the truth about God's word. So me as a missionary, I sit here and I say, wait a second here. They must hear. In the name of Christ is being blasphemed around the world. Because what happens when those preachers stand up and they declare such a message, it all comes in the name of what? Jesus Christ, right? So what happens? They give their money. They give the little money they have. And what happens? Answer? Tell me. Nothing. So what does it make God to be? A liar. So the world is thinking that God's a liar, that God's not true. And that's why I even believe at the end of some of this crazy theology is atheism. Because God never fulfilled any promises. So at the end of the day, we need missionaries who are going to go and going to help strengthen these churches in truth. Amen?
Amen.
So let me, missions has two focuses. It's all focused on one thing, but it's two elements. It's all focused on the church to which Christ has died, the church to which God gave his own blood. It's all focused there. Now, with that, someone just did something. With that, it's either you are going to strengthen the church or you're going to build the church. There are parts of this world, primarily Africa, where the church is spread so wide. So there you go to strengthen it. There's parts of this world where the gospel is nowhere. So you go to build the church. But everything is focused around the church. Are we together?
Yes.
Is this helpful to you all?
Yes.
So I was told that my time is up, but I want to just define for you really quickly what a missionary is. What is a missionary? I want you to hear this. A missionary is a person who is on a mission. A missionary is a person who is on a mission to reach the lost or to strengthen God's church. It's someone who is on a mission to reach the lost or to strengthen God's church. Now, this can take place internationally, or this can take place domestically. This can take place internationally, or this can take place domestically. This can take place in a full-time capacity or a part-time capacity. It could take place either way, but let me just make this clear. All Christians are to be what?
Missionaries.
All Christians are to be what?
Missionaries.
And let me tell you, if you've been set free by a gospel, if you've been made righteous by a gospel, why would you not tell the world? Right? Why would you not tell the world? And so what we want to do in our next time together is we want to talk about the issue of calling. Now, we are going to do something. We're going to separate the guys from the girls. Because I really believe a sense of calling is somewhat different between the sexes, if you will. And there's different elements that it's important that we bring out. And so I want to make sure that we bring those out with clarity. And so we're going to separate the guys from the girls in this next session. The guys will meet here and the girls will meet. So you girls will meet in the pavilion where you registered, okay? And then you're going to go with my wife to Cook Hall. I hope that this has been helpful to you. Let me pray, and then we can go. Father God, we come to you. We come to you who is the Savior. We come to you, to the one to whom is transforms hearts. And we say thank you. As Paul said, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, who has set us free from sin and made us alive unto righteousness. Thanks be to you. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us a righteousness that is not our own, that we might be set free and made righteous. Father, we love you. Father, we praise you. And I pray that from this room, every believer here would rise up and be a missionary, that they would see the world from your eyes, that they would realize that there are some in sin, some unrighteous, and they would be burdened with the gospel message upon their own heart to be delivered to them. And that they would say, I am unashamed of the gospel, because they realize that none are saved apart from their boldness. Through your Son, we pray.